except that they were a series of secret capsules intended to analyze the upper atmosphere and then return. Sean and Crane had the job of finding the capsules once they had landed. In order to facilitate recovery, the satellites were fitted with electronic beepers that began to transmit signals when they came down to an altitude of 5 miles. That was why the van had so much radio directional equipment. Crane tapped the map with a pencil in a nervous way and announced the name of the town at the foot of the hill. Piedmont, Arizona. Population 48. Both men laughed over that. There was no denying the radio directional equipment which located the satellite beeper directly in the center of the town. Sean suggested that someone from the town might have seen it coming down. It would be glowing with the heat and might have retrieved it, bringing it into Piedmont. This was reasonable, except that a native of Piedmont who happened upon an American satellite, fresh from space, would have told someone. Reporters, police, NASA, the Army, someone. But they had heard nothing. And then Sean noticed the birds. In the light of the full moon, he could see them, big birds, gliding in slow circles over the buildings, passing like black shadows across the face of the moon. He wondered why he hadn't noticed them before, and asked Crane what he made of them.
Crane said he didn't make anything of them. As a joke, he added, "Maybe they're buzzards."
"That's what they look like, all right," Sean said.
Crane laughed nervously, his breath hissing out into the night. "But why should there be buzzards here? They only come when something's dead." Sean turned to Crane and said, "We better go down and have a look."
300 miles away in the large, square, windowless room that served as mission control for Project Scoop, Lieutenant Edgar Comro sat with his feet on his desk and a stack of scientific journal articles before him. Comro was serving as control officer for the night. It was a duty he filled once a month, directing the evening operations of the skeleton crew of 12. Tonight, the crew was monitoring the progress and reports of the van coded Caper 1, now making its way across the Arizona desert.
The overhead loudspeaker, which carried the voice transmission from the van of Sean and Crane, clicked on. Sean said, "This is Caper 1 to Vandal Decca. Caper 1 to Vandal Decca, are you reading? Over. We are about to enter the town of Piedmont and recover the satellite."
"Very good, Caper 1. Leave your radio open."
Over the crackling static, Comro heard the rumbling of the van engine, and he heard the two men in the van talking quietly.
"Did you see that?"
"See what?"
"Back there on the sidewalk, it looked like a body."
Then Comro heard the van come to a halt, brakes squealing.
"Jesus! It's another one, sir."
Sean's voice became louder, more formal as he ran through the call.
"This is Caper 1 to Vandal Decker, over."
Comro picked up the microphone.
"Reading you. What's happened?"
Sean, his voice tight, said,
"Sir, we see bodies. Lots of them. They appear to be dead."
Comro said mildly,
"Proceed to the capsule, Caper 1.
Then he picked up the telephone and said, "Get me Major Manchek. M-A-N-C-H-E-K. This is a stat call. I'll hold." While he waited, he cradled the phone on his shoulder and lit a cigarette. Over the loudspeaker, Sean could be heard to say,
"They're all over. There must be dozens of them.
Like they dropped in their tracks, stumbled and fallen down dead."
"All over the streets, on the sidewalks."
Another silence, then Crane.
"Sir?"
"Jesus.
You see him?